This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CU Intersect here in Houston, Texas. And look who I have here in the studio lounge. Oh my gosh, Mr. Steve Coyne. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great. You know, we have done so many interviews together, and I don't know that we've ever actually done one in person.
I don't think so.
With each other. It's always been over Zoom or
yeah, one of those. Yeah, always been remote. Well, nice to do one in person, and well worth the wait. And for those who don't know Steve, you're with PRIT Creighton Services, and tell us a little bit about what you do at PRIT.
Yeah, so I run the professional services side of things. So what we do from virtual CISOs, virtual CTOs, virtual CIOs, I spend most of that time these days doing actually the CIO side of things, and I took on internally being the CISO for our organization. Okay. And honestly, we're the hardest client that we have to deal with, because at the end of the day, there's no one else for it to roll up to, right?
Indeed.
It's me, and we got to get it done, and we got to get the people getting those things done, right? So I guess one of the co-founders, so one of the group that started the organization to start with. So having a great time doing this. I'm loving getting the chance to get together with everybody at this conference again,
and being able to get
to do this in person. The spontaneous conversations that happen in the hallway, at dinner, at the bar, or we went axe throwing last night. Those kind of things. They're all, though, that is where it is that we actually really learn a lot of things that we need to do and form those relationships that we need.
Yeah, nothing like bonding over an axe throwing contest.
Exactly. Yes. That's right.
Nothing better than that, for sure. So speaking of which, I mean, how's the conference going? We're kind of like in our second and a half day of it, I guess. And you have a couple of sessions, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but I just want to get your general overview of what you've seen so far.
At all of these things, I get to come in and I get to speak, and that's great. But really, I'm getting to learn so much from my peers and from the other folks in the industry, and being able to see what things are going on, getting ideas about other things that people need that we could potentially provide. But just those conversations that we have with the vendors that are here, and things that they don't know, or they're trying to get into the credit union industry, or they just don't understand what some of the differences are in that, to actually talking to the other CISOs and other folks that are in the InfoSec, and the CIOs and CTOs that are here, and the CEOs, and understanding what's really going on in a lot of those other organizations. I have the folks that I'm working with, I know what's going on there, but other places, there are other interesting things that happen, because we have such a broad spectrum, right? We've got the 100 million or less kind of folks, we've got the $1 billion folks, we've got the $10 billion folks, and there is a world of difference between these organizations and what it is that's there, what they have to work with, what their resourcing is. So seeing people step up and take things that the $10 billion guy hasn't actually even addressed, and seeing somebody in a $400-500 million stepping up and creating those things and talking about what they can do to be able to actually get ahead of the game, right? That's the struggle here, is how to get ahead.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, and the subject matter here is all about staying ahead, for sure.
Right.
So, and you talked about like some of the attendees and some of the vendors over there. I mean, there's a lot of new faces here that, I mean, we bounce around from conference to conference in the industry. We see the same folks, and it's really great to see them. Mm-hmm. But at this one, oh my gosh, there's so many new folks that you get to meet and learn from, which is really refreshing. So, and to address, you know, obviously all the issues and the trends that you're talking about here, compliance, risk management, IT, security, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really cool.
We have this intersection, and that's why it was, this intersection of all these different types of pieces, and it's bringing different folks from the organization that haven't been the ones that have attended those conferences, right? They're not necessarily, you know, a group of board members and the CEO going to learn about leadership things, or it's not going and talking about the data science. And this is a conference that's intersecting these factors from a risk perspective, a technology perspective, from a security perspective, and it's actually bringing out a different a different group of people.
No doubt. And so, again, it's really refreshing. Yes. Very timely, obviously, as well. So so let's talk about your two sessions, just real briefly here. Give us a quick summary on the first one, and then we'll bounce in and we'll dive into the second one.
That's right. So the first session was yesterday, and we were talking about talking to the board, how it is that you need to be able to work with the board in various different things.
Okay.
Really what I was trying to get down to at the end of the day, the board needs to have some level of understanding of what's going on in a cybersecurity world. A once a year update just really doesn't have the ability for them to, you know, provide a credible challenge to what you're doing, or to really understand that you need some resourcing. If you're not at that point where you can handle what needs to happen, they need to know that there's resources that need to be able to be done there. At the end of the day, my final slide showing that we have a new economy that's going on in cybercrime. The cyber criminal economy, we're looking at a $6 trillion economy right now that's going on. That's the third largest in the world, right? So behind the US and China, now we have cybercrime as that biggest one there. And it's growing at a rate of about 15% cumulative per year. And so if our budgets for cyber to fight
don't match that,
if our budgets are staying flat, or our budgets are going up at 2% or 3%, we are just falling further and further behind every year as we go. We only need a couple more years, and now we'll be at that point where cybercrime is actually a bigger organized criminal enterprise than the global drug trade, right? So let's get out of that messy drug stuff and let's get over here into this. The cartels could be changing their focus, right? And it is that they're doing, and get into that. And I can see that happening, and we're not staying prepared for how it is that we can actually be on the backside of that, be on the defense of that, without actually having the resourcing that we need. So showing the board what we're doing, right? We received 9 million emails last month. 5 million of them were spam. 500,000 of them were phishing attempts. We blocked all of those. One got through. Somebody clicked on something. We had to deal with an incident, right? But we had tools that stopped half of everything from coming in and being able to deal with that. We had tools that were able to block 99.9% of the phishing attempts that were there. You know, so we need to know and understand that we have these tools, but people still need to pay attention to those tools. We still need to be able to have additional tools so that we could actually go out and threat hunt. We can have a huge environment of all of the different pieces that we have been able to do for our SIM tool. We have the SOC that's going on. We have different endpoint managers, etc. But still, things get around those things. People work their way around what's there. We need to actually be able to be at a point where we can have threat hunters, right? So just being realistic with the board, not a bunch of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, but be realistic. Here's what's going on, here's what we're doing, and we really need to talk about whether we need to have something more. Because if your risk tolerance is at zero, then your budget needs to be infinite. If your budget is at zero, then your risk tolerance is going to have to be infinite, right? Have to find where's this place in between that we're going to come to. What risk tolerance do you want to have? It's going to mean a little bit more budget to be able to get there. Or if you whatever budget you gave us, your risk tolerance is going to have to come up to be able to meet that.
And presenting this information to the board once a year ain't going to hack it, I would think, right? This has to be something, I would think, every month, or maybe even every time you meet with the board,
I like there to be a good long, actually getting a good session in there every year to be able to talk about the state of the union, right? And then quarterly, having something that's fairly small, a little security moment that's in there to be able to do. But every board packet needs to have some dashboards, right? Create some nice dashboards, easy to understand, nice little references for things. Always be sure to call out what it is that these things mean.
Right.
But show that's there, and show a trend that's going on, so you can see the trend that's there. These are folks who are used to looking at financial data, right? They're looking at graphs, they're looking at data, they see the line go this way and the line go this way. Show them lines, show them that those things are going, and they'll actually understand, they'll get it. get it into a language that they can understand, and they can actually turn that around. And you can find the resources that you need, because we all know we could do more. Mm-hmm. We all want to do more. Mm-hmm. And maybe we don't want to personally be the ones to do that, but we can actually add that other person to do that. There are folks who love to do this, who love to do that threat hunting, who love to try to figure out how to solve that problem, who are just thinking about, what is that? What are those? What are they thinking? They're, ooh, there's a great idea. And then they can go down that path.
Right.
But no matter what you have, if you actually get in there and start doing that threat hunting, you start finding those things, those bad actors that are coming. At the same time, you find some of that inside thing that might be happening, right? As your organization grows, there will be more inside threats, and they may actually not be intentional inside threats, but something, some action that somebody's doing that you're not getting alerted to, but you start looking at those things and you start finding those pieces in there. So being able to have those tools and say, hey, I've got a person who's going to just look for things, so let's make sure to take some of the lower threats, a low criticality item that's out there. We may not get to fixing it yet, but somehow along the way, if you actually look at some of the really critical vulnerabilities that have been out there, they were low vulnerabilities a few months before, and then somebody figured out, wait, you could do this, and now it's a high, right? We need to still go ahead and address those, and so having somebody who has the time to not just deal with the critical vulnerabilities, but actually deals with those, and then is able to see odd behaviors and start investigating where those behaviors are. Find that somebody that's, you know, pushing that data off into you know, a box account or a Dropbox account slowly in some way, or doing it through when they're on a VPN or a VPN, that sort of thing, that we can actually start investigating and catch some of those things that need to be addressed.
Right, and let your board know about that too. So, because I'm thinking, like, the more consistent communication you have with your board on that keeps the cyber stuff, the cybersecurity type stuff, high on the priority plate, right?
Right.
So it keeps the top of mind, so they know,
exactly,
hey, you know, we need to address this because of what's happening out there.
And they need to have the board. We don't get to tell the board what to do, but the board needs to have somebody who really understands a lot of these things on that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's our process. Maybe the process is us educating them. Maybe we educate them to the point where the board says, let me go get a person on the board that can actually speak this language. Yeah. It was really refreshing for me to go in to a board and talk to a board meeting one time, and the CIO of Mary Kay was actually on the board.
Oh, really?
I could talk the language, we could talk it, and then we could explain to everybody else what was going on, but we had somebody who understood what we were talking about.
That's awesome.
Because it was running a large organization and happened to be on that board. It'd be great. It's great if you can get those people on the board. We have to, the board needs to actually make that determination. I need to do that discussion over over in the leadership conferences, talking to the boards about that.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.